Welcome to Blueprints for Brilliance Coaching Insights, a podcast by coaches for coaches. Our guests share their hard-won wisdom to help you grow your coaching business and create a life of success. So get ready to unlock the blueprints to your success. Welcome everyone to our newest episode. I'm thrilled to have you here joining me and also thrilled to have Dr. Shelley Jones-Holt. Her company is Leadership Legacy Consulting, and she is an executive leadership consultant. So welcome to the show, Dr. Shelley.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm so glad to be here.
Yay. So tell us how you became an executive leadership consultant. Kind of what was your origin story, if you will?
So I became an executive leadership coach because I wanted to be what I didn't have when I was an executive C-level leader. So when I was in my final years of being a superintendent of a very large district, I realized that there were needs that my board and my teams needed that I couldn't do always sitting in the seat that I'm in and in the identity that I'm in. And there wasn't necessarily, for example, people that could work with my board who had never hired a leader of color, who had never worked. Really, they had never worked with or for or supported a person of color. And that's different. That's a different kind of leadership when you're bringing in formerly minoritized populations into positions of leadership. And so as I was, you know, kind of thinking about my next step, and it was right around the time Mr. George Floyd was murdered, and a lot of my colleagues were calling me to pick my brain. And after about, I would say probably about the 10th or 15th call around this time, because I'm known for being able to strategize and support in prickly situations, to say the least, right? And so now, you know, folks are, you know, dealing with all these different feelings, emotions, and they were calling to pick my brain. And after a while, I was like, wait a minute. Well, it wasn't even me. It was actually one of my colleagues who eventually became a client that said, are you charging for this? Like, I feel like I should pay you. And I'm like, huh? What? There's a thing called paying somebody? And she was like, yeah, you just gave me like an hour of coaching and thought partnering and, you know, 25 years of expertise as an executive leader. And I never really thought of that as something until casually after the next person called, I say, well, I'm more than happy to help you, but I'm going to need to charge for my time. And the person was like, no problem. Just tell me how much. Invoice me. And I was like, it's that easy. And so that's really, it was about trying to be for people what I didn't have, which was that thought partner to help me, but also someone that could come in and say the things that I couldn't, that could work with my board or work with my leadership team and be able to either teach them something that they needed to be taught, help them see a perspective that maybe they weren't seeing at the time. And that's not always possible when you're sitting in the seat, but it is very possible if you have someone else that can come in and say, hey, sat in that seat. Let me help you understand how what you're doing is impacting them or making their lives a little bit more difficult or different ways you can go about doing this. And so I literally turned that around the time of George Floyd, when a lot of folks were asking about how do I support my employees or my colleagues of color? How do I deal with, you know, the fact that I just realized that racism is real? And believe it or not, I'm seeing another uptick right now because folks are seeing what's happening and going, you know what? I know this is going to come and backfire some kind of way. Like whatever is happening nationally always ends up playing out differently within the context of organizations. And leaders are tasked with trying to figure out how do we balance what may be happening societally, what people may be thinking and feeling individually and personally, like their belief systems, and then productivity on the job and being able to work together despite having differing views, differing identities and all of that. And so that's where I come in. And I come in and I support and coach executive leaders on how to create decision-making processes that are equitable for all folks, how to raise voices of people that may not have traditionally voiced their opinions, but you need that information and that perspective as a CEO and a leader in order to lead your organization well, to create systems and processes that are going to be able to cascade through throughout the organization. One of the largest things I help people with, I help people a lot with team building and creating trust, especially at the executive level. And especially based on when you have like different people from different identities or perspectives, how do we create a space where people can hear that? And collaborative decision making. So building trust within your team and that kind of that doesn't exist so that you can make collaborative decisions together, because that is the number one job of leadership, is to make good decisions for people in the organization. And then the other thing I really help people with quite a bit is, once you've made those decisions, how do we communicate those throughout the organization and create systems of communication that operate well with people from various backgrounds? And if we can communicate and make decisions well within an organization, you are well on your way to a path to success. So that's how I got to be where I am. And I love it. I can really say authentically at this point in my career, I love what I do.
I love when I hear that. It really just kind of came naturally. This was obviously a natural environment talent. You know, if people were coming to you and saying, you know, I want to pick your brains, I need your help. And then I love that you just turned around at some point and said, hang on a minute, I need to be paid for my time. And it's great that people said, yeah, absolutely. Happy to do it.
Hey, and that was a shot. And I don't know if it was imposter syndrome as a woman leader. I don't know if it was just not realizing the value of what I was providing, which oftentimes people don't realize their value when I help. But I'm glad I did. And I'm glad I have a circle of colleagues that value that expertise and see that I bring a different perspective to the table that many leaders may not have. But you cloud that in a trusting relationship and people know my heart is always full. And then you add in, I'm a teacher by trade. Like, that's where I started in this business of education and moved into educational leadership. And now I'm still a teacher. And I love being able to teach adults how to get along with one another, how to create systems and processes, how to get out of their own way, but mostly how to listen to perspectives that are different from their own and how to process that. Because when I hear a perspective that may be different from my own, there's a lot of different emotions that can come up. So one of the things we're dealing with right now in a lot of organizations, especially with Ramadan, a Muslim Arabic, you know, tradition, and then Easter being more of a Christian tradition, is this understanding of religious freedom and spiritual freedom. And what does that mean if I'm an executive leader and I have one group that, you know, is able to freely express what it is that their religious background is celebrating at the time, and another group that feels like theirs should be stifled, and you want to create some equality, if you will, is that. And so leaders are just trying, like, stepping back and realizing, hey, why does this exist? What can I do as an organizational leader to let everyone know that whatever your beliefs are, they are welcome in this space? And if you need Good Friday off or you need Ash Wednesday off, you know, to make sure that you take care of your needs, excellent. And if you need, you know, us to understand, maybe shift your hours because you're not eating during the day, they're fasting, or you need some time for prayer because that's part of your belief system. How do I, as a leader, create the space to learn that information from those who work within my organization and then respond appropriately based on the needs? And having people go, oh my gosh, it was that easy. You mean I just had to create space to listen and then respond and let people know what's going on? I'm like, yeah, that's pretty much it. They're seeing the impact on people. They're seeing the gratefulness from all. I mean, you have Christians that are going, thank you for letting me know. I didn't know what Ramadan was or what my colleagues needed. And you have people who celebrate, who are Muslim, going, you know what? I really never really understood it. I just knew we got time off. I didn't understand what a big deal this was and why it was such a big deal. Even though we believe differently, we can still coexist and respect one another together. And seeing that happening amidst all that's happening right now in the United States of America gives me hope, not only in people, but it also reminds me of the importance of leadership, courageous leadership, that's going to be our legacy. And that's what led to me creating my organization and naming it Leadership Legacy. I often ask the question, what's going to be the legacy of your leadership? Is it going to be a legacy of courageous, pushing through fear, making tough decisions and creating spaces? Or is it going to be a legacy of being cowardly and succumbing to whatever the wind is, you know, whatever way the wind goes at the time, despite its impact on your people and ultimately your business? And so I know I want a legacy of courageous leadership, of being able to do what's right and not necessarily, might not always be popular, but it'll definitely be what's right. And that's what I help people do.
I love what you said earlier about prickly situations. And I think people oftentimes get moved into a leadership position or an executive position, but they don't necessarily always get training on how to do that. So I would think, you know, that's where you come in, you know, because like you said, you know, they're dealing with all different kinds of people who have all different kinds of beliefs and all different kinds of things they need support in. And I love that you help them with it. You also talked about systems and processes. And it's so funny, my business partner and I laugh because we write them. I write them actually, but she's the big picture person. So if she understands it, then it works. But we always say systems and processes aren't sexy, but they're necessary.
Truer words have never been spoken, and leaders who understand the need for systems and processes and people are the ones who are the most successful. There are some that really hone in on the systems and processes despite the people. And that's when you see, you know, systems and processes coming into clashing with culture and climate of your organization. And when your systems and processes support the climate and culture that you're trying to create, and vice versa, the climate and culture that you have supports your systems and processes. When the two are married, it's a beautiful thing. That's where decision making is a process, but it involves people, and you have to have a certain culture within your organization to be able to tackle some of those tough decisions that need to be made in a way that respects all perspectives. Again, comes back to a system. Do you have a system for gathering those perspectives and truly hearing them when people are saying, hey, this works for me, or this doesn't work for me, and let me help you understand why? And it's a beautiful thing when those two come together. And you know, when people elevate to leadership, I often tell people, what got you the job is not what's going to keep the job. Let's be very clear. What got you the job was usually being a great performer and being someone who gets things done and, you know, makes these great gains or does whatever it is that your, you know, next in line supervisor or line supervisor needs you to do. And folks see that excellence and go, yes, that's someone that other people should or could emulate and follow. Right. And that is a very different skill set. Doing the work is a very different skill set than leading the work and leading other people to do it. In my role as a teacher leader and then eventually an administrator of schools, I was a math teacher by trade. And I ran into a lot of colleagues who were, when I tell you, some of the most brilliant mathematicians you will ever meet, like their brains, I swear they need to pickle them and study them or something because they're brilliant, right? But they couldn't take all that brilliance and somehow translate it to 15-year-olds who are trying to learn, right? And so that's a different skill, like knowing how to do math and understanding the concepts. Now I need to connect with, and forgive me for those of you who may be offended, but with half-brained individuals, because technically their brains are not fully formed yet. I'm trying to teach them this very intricate context, fix all the emotions that, you know, 15-year-olds bring, and all the things that are happening. That's a very different skill set. It's similar in leadership. What it took to get the job is usually a skill set or something that you're done. To keep the job, now you've got to be able to work with these people that are in your organization, and they're all very different, and they have different things going on. They have different ways of operating. They have different ways of learning. They have different ways of leading. And you are now tasked with, how do I take this knowledge that I know and these skills that I have and be able to translate them to make this person over here great at what they do? And there's no real good way to do that if you don't, first of all, get to know who that person is and what's going on with them. And this is where the ideas of understanding culture, understanding cultural differences, understanding how you show up, your work style, your leadership style, your personality style, your nonverbals. I tend to talk with my hands a lot. I had to think about that as a leader, especially when I got on large stages. Like all of these little things that you have to think about as a leader that nobody teaches you. Nobody comes in and says, okay, you know, be careful with your hands. I remember I had a coach once that said, you talk with your hands a lot. When you want people to listen, stop. And I was like, oh, wow. That's hard because I'm always going. And I had to learn. So now I'm telling one of my secrets that when I really want people to, I have to pause. I have to stop my hands and I have to make sure people are sitting with my words. And the beautiful part of this is when you finally can see someone who is really good at that technical knowledge, finally get really good at the adaptive pieces and they're like, oh my gosh, it worked. Like it did. Like I went into a meeting and I just listened and I asked questions and all of a sudden they got where I was trying to get them to go. Like, really? Like I had been telling them, but they weren't hearing me. I'm like, amazing thing, right? You know, because all of a sudden you become a leader and you realize you don't know anything. People don't think you know anything. So now your main job becomes trying to pull out of that person what you could have told them. It's like
do you still just work in school systems or do you do executive coaching in any type of business?
Any type of business. So schools is where I cut my teeth, but right now I'm working a lot in the tech sector. I'm working a lot in the healthcare field because you have a lot of different people, especially now that people have gone up. Some organizations and businesses have really embraced the online or work from home or whatever you want to call it, a work environment. So they have people that are coming to them. We have people that are leading teams with people from all over the world, not just the country anymore or the area. They have people that, you know, you might have one team and you have three people from the UK. You got four people from India. You got a couple people from China. You got maybe four or five folks from the USA and they're working in the medical field or the tech sector. And they're all working together to put something, whatever it is that they were. I don't get into the technicals of what you're doing because that doesn't matter to me. But now you have all these people and you don't understand what's happening in Indian culture or the time difference or maybe the family differentials that happen in all of these different environments because you now have all of these different cultures and personalities. And if those start to clash, your project is going to get elongated. If those start to clash, your product is not going to be the result of the best thinking of all these minds that you've brought together. That's where I come in. And I help, you know, leaders be able to bring people together to be productive and make decisions, create those systems, but also acknowledge the differences that exist among them. And I often know that I've been successful when I finally get them to laugh at some of the things that they do that irk or irritate one another. You'll have, you know, someone from the UK is like, that accent, you know, it just. And then they all laugh like, yes, we know. We all have different accents and trying to, you'll have someone talking with an Indian accent. Then you have someone talking with a Chinese accent and with a British accent. And they're all trying to talk to each other in English. It's hilarious after all. You're like, I processed how much you're processing accents. And they're like, we have it. Yeah, it's part of what we're doing, right? And so we get people to acknowledge that it's okay to acknowledge some of those differences. It's not disrespectful. It's actually very respectful to say, you know what? How about we all establish a norm that we're going to slow down our speech because everyone is processing in another language and trying to speak in English. So we're all going to slow down a little bit so that we can all hear each other. Or maybe we create a norm in our organization that we're going to answer our questions that we have in writing first and review those and then have the discussion about what we just did or what we just explained so that now we're not fumbling through the explanation and trying to understand one another. We create a system to accommodate the cultural differences that are existing. But an outside consultant or coach can come in and say, hey, this is what I'm noticing. How do we feel about that challenge? And how do we feel about creating a solution for that challenge that helps us all move forward together? And having those conversations with folks when they realize the power of having a coach from the outside come in and coach us all on how we can lead up, manage out, it creates such a great environment. And the beautiful thing about coaching is that you can choose how long or how much you need. I can coach sometimes I just come in and coach on a specific project that might've gotten stuck. Or sometimes it's the beginning of a team and getting a team going. Some organizations where I literally just do conflict resolution. Something comes up, they call me in. It's kind of like having prepaid legal. It's like prepaid conflict management, where they say, oh, we hit a situation. We need to make sure this is facilitated. We're going to bring Dr. Shelley in. And sometimes it's two people, sometimes it's two groups. But if you normalize that and it doesn't become a punitive thing, it can be very powerful that folks go, oh, we've hit a snag. We have someone that can help us understand that and make sure that we all are heard around the table. No big deal. Let's call her in. She comes in and helps us work through this. And then I ease my way on out until they call me back.
That's fantastic. Yeah. And we are so global now. We actually do help our clients outsource to the Philippines. So there was, you know, we've been doing it for about a decade, and there was a huge amount of cultural differences that we had to understand and how that we have to explain to our clients as well. Because sometimes they've hired from the Philippines, but they didn't know what to do with them. That's where the standard operating procedures or the systems and processes come in.
13 months. If you don't understand 13th month, if you don't understand how deeply, deeply religious Filipino people are, and that, you know, you need to give them their holidays, and they're very deeply family oriented. You need to have those times built into your business so that as I work with my VAs who are in the Philippines, that was something I had to learn. And we set a calendar together. I'm like, here, you tell me what's going to help you work best. Imagine just saying that to, you know, someone who was reporting to me that I'm paying. And I'm saying, yes, I'm paying you. Yes, I'm the boss. I get that. But I need you to tell me what your environment where you work best is. So imagine, like, sometimes people can see that as an annoyance. But imagine if you see that as powerful, as engaging, as now something you can share with your children. Like,
ugh, I love that. So people in our audience are finding that they are having prickly situations, or that they're not giving people the space, they're not acknowledging, you know, different cultures. What would you kind of say would be their first step?
Well, I would say the first step would be to have a conversation with yourself and not to take it personal. Immediately we go into, is there something and there may have been something you've done. There may have been something that you have allowed to flourish or something that you missed. First things first is not to take that personal. And once we can get out of the personal part of it, because taking it personal and making assumptions and going down that rabbit hole, first of all, you got to come out of that rabbit hole in order to start getting the solution. So not getting in that rabbit hole in the first place would be my first suggestion. Is it's not as much about you as you think it is. That being said, the solutions may be about you. And so it may be different things that you need to do. And so that would be my second suggestion, is don't be afraid of doing things differently. And that's where taking a moment and hearing people out can really help you. And so that would be my third suggestion, is if you can find a positive or productive way to listen to what it is that people are really concerned about. But listening to them is going to mean that if trust has been broken, or you need to create space where people can feel comfortable sharing with you. What I found is that in the right situation and given the right opportunity, we'll tell you what's going on. Nobody wants to work in a messed up environment. Nobody wants to go to work and argue with people or not be productive, or, you know, deal with whatever trauma and drama and stress and oppression and microaggressions and all those things. Who wants to do that? And I would also argue that a lot of things that people do unconsciously, they're not meaning to do intentionally to harm. The expectation is that regardless of those belief systems, and the ways of society, we're expected to work together and be productive. And that is, it's just the way it is. Now, how we manage that and deal with those dynamics is the difference between an effective organization or one that is going to be minimally effective. Doesn't mean you'll go out of business, but you could definitely be minimally effective. Not sure that was the best move moving forward. And now they're in a bit of a prickly situation, to say the least, and could use some support on how to do that. But most importantly, imagine if they didn't get in that situation to begin with,
right?
You know, in the beginning, and had someone advise them, say, you might want to just pause. So that would be my fourth little piece of advice, is when all else fails and you're unsure, pause for a moment to think and give yourself that space and time to think about what's going on and do a little bit more investigation. Whatever you do, do not make a rash, reactionary decision if it's a big thing that's going on in your organization.
Well, those are amazing tips. Amazing work. And we're grateful for people like you, Dr. Shelley, who are helping organizations make good decisions and you know, for people to work in an environment that they love, that, you know, people get along in. It's an amazing thing. People are saying, oh my gosh, she's speaking my language. I need her to come into my organization and help us. What is the best way for people to reach out to you?
Send me an email to Dr. Shelley, dr.shelley, S-H-E-L-L-E-Y, at familylegacy5.com. That is probably my shortest and cleanest email. But if that doesn't work, or you might like, I'm not sure, please go ahead and visit my website or see any of our social media. If you message us anywhere on any of those social media or on our website, we will get that as well. But a quick email is always the best way. And just say, hey, how you doing? Would love to get on a consultation. I do free discovery calls, which is about 15 minutes for us to get on the phone or on a Zoom. I often love doing things even face-to-face and virtually so we can see each other and have a conversation about what your needs. I tend to be very honest. I will tell you if I can help you. I will tell you if I cannot. And usually if I cannot, I usually have a colleague or somebody that I can refer you to. I would love to get on a call with anyone who is in a leadership position and is wondering, how do I bring my people together? Or these prickly situations are starting to take over my conversations, or people are getting distracted by whatever's happening outside and is coming inside my organization. I don't know how to handle it. Republicans and Democrats in my organization. You know, I got all these things, right? Then give me a call and we could talk through it. And just know you are not alone. Leadership is very lonely, but you don't have to be alone in it. And so that's where having an executive leadership coach is exactly why I created it. I felt very alone. I felt like there was nobody that could help. And so I decided to be that person that I wished I had.
Oh, that's fantastic. So Dr. Shelley, I have one last question for you. If you could provide the world one tip to make it a better place, what would that be?
My biggest tip is to listen more. Listen, listen, listen. And listen not just with your ears and with your mind, but listen with your heart. Listen to what people are saying and believe them. Right now, we have a lot of folks who think they know what everybody else is going through, who think they know the way that society impacts everyone. And I'm going to tell you right now, society does not impact people the same. The rules and regulations, the laws, the belief systems, they don't impact people in the same way. And if you can't understand where your people are coming from, if you can't hear their perspective, if you can't respond to what their actual needs are, and as opposed to getting offended by them, then that's where the problem is. The problem is not always in society. The problem is that we're not hearing our people. And the best place to start listening is at home. Listen to your kids. Listen to your family members. Listen to those in your immediate circle who may have perspectives that are different from your own. And in that listening, you will learn a lot about them. You will learn a lot about their needs, but you'll also learn a lot about yourself and what the best place and space and perspective to lead from is. So listen, listen, listen in the best ways possible. And if you don't know how, give me a call. I will help you learn how to listen effectively.
I love that. That is amazing. Listen, listen, listen to people. Dr. Shelley, this has been such a pleasure chatting with you, getting to know you. You're wise and wonderful. And I'm so grateful to have met you today.
Same here. Thank you so much for having me. And I want to thank you and your partner for creating this platform for us to be able to come and share our message with people who may not know we exist. And I am a Christian first. So I don't believe anything is by accident. I believe God is in everything that we do. And so us being here in this space, you being here listening, this is not by accident. This is ordained. This is our work. This is by design. And so I just thank you for having this platform. And I thank you all for listening. And give me a call if there's anything I can do to help.
Thanks for joining us today on Blueprints for Brilliance Coaching Insights. We hope you're leaving this episode with inspiration to take your coaching business and your life to the next level. If you found value in this episode, we would love it if you would subscribe and share it with someone else who you think might benefit from hearing it. Thanks, and we'll see you in the next episode.